God for you
in Christ Jesus. What did I say? Let's say it louder. No, let's say it together. I want to go. Understanding the eternal purpose of God for you in Christ Jesus. One more time. Come on. Ephesians 3:8 says, and I'm reading New Living Translation, though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles. He gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures. Treasures endless. Available to them where? Come on, church. Available to them where? In Christ. He says, this is the assignment God gave me. To share with the Gentiles the endless treasures that they have in Christ. The endless treasures. Verse 9. I was chosen to explain. I was chosen to what? Explain to how many people? Everyone. Everyone. This mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. I was chosen to explain it to people so that they will benefit from this plan that God has made. And so there is something that God wants you and I to understand. There is something that is precious, that is important to God, for which God was raising people and sending them out, and they were being killed, they were being stoned, they suffered all manner of things, and God was still sending them out to go and explain this one thing. The purpose of God for you is sending Jesus to die for us. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I want them to be encouraged. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand. That everybody should be confident that they understand God's mysterious what? Plan. Which is what? Christ himself. He said, I was sent to explain this to everyone. And I want everybody to be confident that they understand this thing that God wants them to understand. This mysterious plan. This plan that God executed. And this plan is summarized in two words. Christ Jesus. And so he was warning the Colossian church that they should not let anybody bring them any other story that is not this. And if you continue to read Colossians 2 verse 6, you see why he was warning them. He said, don't let anybody capture you with useless spiritual rubbish. That the only thing you need to know is this plan that God has executed for you in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6. And now, just as Colossians chapter 3, 2 verse. Okay, let's continue verse 3. Verse 3, I didn't finish it. Verse 3. In him now lie hidden all the what? Treasures of wisdom and what? And knowledge. All the wisdom and knowledge you need in this life is found in Christ. And in verse 4, he began to warn them. In verse 4, I'm telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted what? Arguments about something else. Religious stuff. So-called spiritual rubbish. So that's why I'm warning you. For though I am far away from you, my heart is what? With you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should. And that your faith in Christ is what? Strong. He said, I'm so excited that this thing I'm explaining, you got it. And now you are living as you should. because you've gotten what you need that will make you live as you should. And your faith is strong in Christ. Then in verse 6, he said, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to what? Follow him. And then in verse 7, let your roots grow down where? Into him. And let your life be built what? On him. Do you have any other message here? Let your roots grow down into him. And let your life be built what? On him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. What truth? The revelation of God's plan in Christ. The message, Christ himself. He said, now your faith will grow strong in this truth that God sent me to explain to you. I'm not done. And he says, then your faith will grow strong. Verse 7. Back up a little bit. Verse 7. Your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow with what? Thankfulness. Verse 8. Now, another one. Don't let anyone capture you. The word capture is to steal you. Capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual power. It says demonic of this world. Rather than from who? Christ. Because there's only one thing God sent me to explain to you. It's what God himself executed in Christ. The mystery. God's plan. Which God did. He said, and that plan is Christ. And I've taught you that. He said, when you understand it, your faith in Christ will be strong. He said, but don't let them capture you, because they are going to bring all these philosophies and all this demonic stuff that they are going to come with. Verse 9. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God. What? My body says, you don't find anything outside of in Christ is the fullness of God. In Christ is the fullness of who? God. You don't get it anywhere else. And verse 10. So you also are what? Complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. So that when you are strong in Christ, when you find your union with Christ, you are complete, you desire nothing, you deserve nothing else. You don't want nothing else. You don't need 10 commandments, nothing. Nothing else. That's why the scripture says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. It brings you, it says, when the Spirit comes, it will lead you into all truth. It will bring you into this truth. And when you know this truth, the truth will now set you free. It will bring you into this knowledge of Christ. Where in him is all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. The mystery of God. The wisdom of God. The divine plan that is beyond human understanding is in Christ. Executed in Christ. That's what Jeremiah was saying. The heart of God towards you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think what? Towards you. My plan for you. I know my plan. Said the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of what? Who is our peace? Jesus our peace. So I'm bringing you peace. Peace between me and you. Peace in your heart. That what the world cannot what? Give it. I'm bringing you peace. Said the Lord. Thoughts of peace. And not of what? Evil. To give you an expected end. I have a purpose. There's an expectation I have in doing this. Then shall you call what? Upon me. Somebody say amen. And you shall go and pray unto me. And I will what? Hearken. What's he saying? I'm going to give you access to me. Unlimited access to me. Boldness to come in my presence. We need to understand that the plan of salvation, which we talk about in so many churches, and how it affects your life, is a key thing. It's a key thing to understand this plan. We call it the plan of salvation. Ever since I was a Christian, I was hearing the plan of salvation. Plan of salvation. Even Sunday school, plan of salvation. But nobody explained it to me. I never had any explanation. Because they didn't know, and I didn't know. But the plan of salvation for you and for me teaches us, number one thing, is that our life is not changed by rule keeping. Shocks you, right? Because you've been fed what is not the truth or the one. Our life is not changed by what? You didn't hear me. By what? Rule keeping. Rule. R-U-L-E. R, you people have accent. Our life is not changed by what? Rule keeping. That's what the church has taught. So they focus on rule keeping instead of Christ. Instead of Jesus. Meaning well, yeah. But rule keeping doesn't change life. The Bible says that the law does not make anybody perfect. And doesn't give life. Doesn't change life. And God asks us the question, who maketh you to be different from what? He says, is it rule keeping on me? Who made you to be different? God says, I'm. So, life is not changed by rule keeping. It is God that changes life. Can you tell your neighbor what I said? So one of the things that God executed in Christ is a plan that changes a man's life from inside out. And Paul said, I will send to explain to you how God changed your life. 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 Colossians 2:11. When you came to Christ, when you came to Christ, not before, when you came to Christ, you were what? I want you to follow me. You were what? I want to hear you loud. That. You were what? But not by a physical procedure. Christ himself performed a spiritual what? Circumcision. The cutting away of your spiritual nature. That's where the change came. Sinful nature. That's what brought the change. Rule keeping doesn't bring the change. It is God that when you came to Christ, he executed that plan in cutting away that your sinful nature. Can everybody say amen? So when you open your mouth and say, no, this habit is from my parents, you don't understand the gospel. Anybody that understands the gospel will never make that kind of statement anymore. Because that nature has been what? Cut off. And the reason you are behaving like that is because you believe you are like that. And nobody can preach you out of that behavior until you renew your mind. I don't care how many rules they give you. As a man thinketh, you are going to be. You can come to church and dress well and cover it, and everyone thinks you are holding wage. But that thing is holding you because it's grabbing in your heart, it's gotten your thought, it's gotten your. It's a seed that is right there because you believe this is from. It's from our family. That's the way we are. Really? You don't know that plan that was executed to cut that thing off. If you understand it, your testimony will change. And you overcome by the words of what? Your mouth. You begin to decline. This thing has been what? Cut off. Somebody shout hallelujah. This thing has been what? Cut off. Your thinking begins to change. One man was telling us yesterday. He said, I hated one man that did me. I hated him so bad that I was reminding God of Ananias and Sapphira. So that the man will... But he said something that taught me something. He said, the more I hated them, the more my life was changing to evil. He said, the more I was becoming more evil, and then was affecting my wife, affecting everybody around me. Rule keeping doesn't change. Because out of the heart comes all the issues of what? He said, everybody around me was now becoming affected. Yet, I hated one man. Just hating one man. My character began to shift towards hatred and bitterness and anger and everything. And I found it manifesting in my life. Verse 12. Colossians 2 verse 12. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
Colossians 2 verse 12. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized into Christ now. And with him, you were raised to what? A new life. Simply because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were buried with him. You were raised to a new life. You say, Pastor, like my granddaughter asked, Grandma. He said, Grandma, I was not there when Jesus came. That's my granddaughter. Very smart girl. And My wife came to ask me. I said, no, it's grandma and granddaughter. So both of you can solve that problem. Yeah, she asked, and that's the confusion thing from people. Because you want to understand spiritual reality. With your canal, it won't work. I've said it over and over. It won't work. So when Jesus died, he died with his body. Jesus was never separated from you. He died with his body. Once you come to him, you are a member of his what? His body. And the Bible is telling us that when he died, it was his body that was crucified right there. Because he died for you. If he died for you, then it was you that died. I mean, if I pay your bill, you have paid it. It's as simple as ABCD. If I pay your bill now, they will never come to you and say, pay that bill. Why? When they see, they say, oh, this man has paid it. But who paid it? So when Jesus died, what died? When he rose up from the dead, we too have what? Risen. Oh, somebody say amen.
Amen.
He said, we died with him, we rose with newness of life, because that process he went through, which Paul said, I was sent to explain to you what happened there. Is that when he died, everybody that we believe in him, he died for all the whole world, but you don't appreciate, you don't experience it until you come and accept it as true. And the day you accept it, then that death on the cross becomes effective for you. Which means you are saying, yes, he died for me. And so when he died, you too died. And when he rose, you too what? Rose. And the Bible says when you rose, you had a new life. And it's explaining it that this old life was cut off. It was a spiritual thing. So the change you have came from what Jesus did. That change you have is not from rule keeping. You can't change your nature by rule keeping. If God does not change you, you remain the way you are. Except the Lord builds it. All the struggle to change is waste of what? Time. And number two, Our empowerment to live the new life does not come from us. It doesn't come from you. It comes from the enabling power that Jesus supplies you. And so you learn to trust him. Ephesians 3:14. Are you following me? Ephesians 3:14. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. What do I tell the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth? What do I pray? I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will come on, church. He will come on, church. He will come on. I want to hear here. He will empower you with the inner strength through his spirit. The strength that keeps you going is the empowerment of his spirit that is in you. That's why Jesus said, the scripture says, I can do what? All things through that strength that Christ supplies me. Therefore, to him that believeth, all things become possible. You can't sit up there and say, Pastor, you know, I can't do this one. No, you can't. Great thing, you don't want to. You don't want to. Verse 17. Let me take 16 and 17 again. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then, because when he empowers you, what happens in verse 17? Then Christ will make his what? Home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will now grow what? Down into God's love. And now keep you strong. Your root will grow down into God's love that passeth all understanding. It passeth all understanding. But now you have an understanding of what the love of God is. And your root will go in. He said, this will keep you strong. It will keep you what? Strong. Remember, the man that said, I hated somebody. And I found that my life was now turning towards what? Wickedness. Now, when your root is in the love of God, strong, your life will start turning towards what? The love of God. The love of God. The love of God. The love of God. And nobody will teach you to love your wife. It will become a natural way you live your life. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody was telling me, he said, I said, how about the school you have in Nigeria? He said, Pastor, you don't understand what is happening. He said, because the school was successful, many people went and built school around that one. Listen to us Christians. I want you to listen to us Christians. I want you to see us. And then he said, people will come to school here, and they stay two terms, they won't pay. And when you want them to pay, they will transfer to the other school and finish the year free. He said it became so common that all the school owners now had a meeting and decided that if you come to my school, I will let others what? No. So that if you are owing anything, you pay it right here and you are not going anywhere. Nobody will admit you until you pay. And these are Christians. Brethren, these are Christians. I'm not kidding you. These are so-called Christians. I was talking to a doctor yesterday, and he said I was a Hindu. And then I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? Well, he said, I was a Hindu, but I went to Christian school. I said, did they introduce you to Jesus? He said, no, we do prayer in the morning, you know, Christian prayer, and we do this. He said, now, I think I'm both Hindu and Christian. I said, did they introduce you to Jesus? Because that Christian prayer and, you know, cramming scripture is what they thought was Christianity. That's what a lot of people do too. They think doing night vigil and doing this and doing that, that is sum total of Christianity. Christianity that's not based and founded in Christ is not Christianity. There's no other foundation anybody can. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. You don't know Jesus? Are you Christian? I asked the doctor, I said, did they introduce you to Jesus? That's the cool question. I said, all they taught you is theology. I did Bible study in school. We wrote about Paul. Second missionary journey, first missionary journey. But we're not born again. Nobody introduced Jesus to us. And I'll go to church, and during prayer, I'll put my hand like this and be looking for somebody's trouble. That was our foundation. We taught that activities and rituals took the place of Jesus. Without him, you can do what? Even many of you sitting here can't even tell somebody about Jesus. You talk about God easily. Very easily. But talk about Jesus. Something like, hold your mouth. Many people can't talk about Jesus. Even sitting here. I'm not even going outside. Right here. Look at that. They can talk about God what? Easily. But talk to somebody about Jesus. To find they don't have the ability. I'm telling you the truth. The battle is serious. It's very hot. The devil wants to take Jesus out of the church. And when they brought the disciples and flogged them, you know what they told them? We are warned you not to preach in this name again. We don't want this name. You can do any other thing. But you see this Jesus, we don't want him. Why? He's the answer. He's God's power. He's the wisdom of God. He's the savior. He's the deliverer. He's the healer. He's the soon coming what? King. The only hope of mankind. So if they take Jesus away, they take away the only hope we have. And give us fake. The battle is on. And Jesus will win. Can I hear amen? Amen? They will not take him out. No, not as long as you live. Because we will preach Christ crucified morning, afternoon, and night. I want to tell you there are many churches that don't pray in the name of Jesus anymore. Am I telling lies here? I'm telling the truth. It's not taking him. Don't talk about him. And yet he's our life. In him we are complete. He is all and all to us. Ephesians 6:10. A final word. Be strong what? In the Lord and in his mighty power. Can we say amen? Amen. We are kept by the power of the Lord. You see, come. There's a difference between me holding on to him and he holding me. Right? Huh? If I hold on to him, you know, if I hold on to that thing, to hold me, how long will I last? Talk to me now. Huh? But if that thing is holding me, how long will I last? Huh? If Jesus is holding you, you will last. But if you say you are the one holding, your arms will pain you. That's what the scripture says in 1 Peter 1:5. We are kept. We are kept. Church, we are kept. We are what? Kept. 1 Peter 1:5. This is New Living Translation. This is a different New Living Translation. I'm reading the old New. I think this is the older one. This is the one that they printed. Okay, let's read New King James Version. That's a compromise now. Who are kept? You can't find New King James Version. Okay. We are kept what? Through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed. So it is the power of God that is what? Keeping us. Not keeping yourself. You can't. It is the power of God. Paul said that you'll be strengthened by might in the inner man. so that you can now begin to understand these things, and your root will be deep in the love of God, and then you will be strong. You will be really strong. Amen. This might be Greek to some people. God, this is Greek to you, is where you are, you're far away. Very far away. Very, very far away. Number three. It comes, our ability to live the new life comes from the new nature that we have. The spirit nature. The only answer to the flesh or the carnal dispositions of a man. The Christian is to live the life of the spirit, not the life of the flesh. He is to live the life of what? The spirit, not the life of the flesh. We are to walk as Jesus walked. And we are to do the works that Jesus did. And for us to do the work that Jesus did, we must have all the resources that Jesus had. Which means we must have his nature. If we are to live like God, imitators of God, then we are going to have the nature that God had. We are going to have every resource that Jesus had that the Father gave him. And so, this being born again, which many people rattle through, they don't understand the meaning, is a huge spiritual dynamic shift in the life of everybody. To be born again is a major spiritual shift in your life that changes everything about you. Everything about you. It's not a Pentecostal balance. It's not what we say as Pentecost. Everybody get me, I'm born. Being born again is a major, let me say it again, is a major spiritual shift in your life that brings a huge shift in your circumstance, in your destiny, in your abilities. Everything about you, it shifts you from one level of shame to a place of glory. It moves you from a place of defeat to a place of victory. It moves you from a place of far away from God to seated with Christ in heavenly places. It moves you from a place of weakness to ability to do all things through Christ. This born again experience is awesome. It moves you from being carnal and natural to being spiritual and like God. It moves you from where you have no authority, hopeless, to a place of hope, of glory, where you exercise divine authority. You speak with power, and things happen because you said so. I remember Sister Chinyere, somebody lost her car. And Chinyere just spoke, he said, 3 days you'll find it. That's what God changed us to be. To speak like oracles of what? You don't need a pastor. Everyone can do that. He said, 3 days you found that. Hey, in 3 days, they found it. They found it. The Bible says, when they say there's a casting down, because you're there, you say no, there is a what? Casting, lifting up. This born again experience, brethren, gives you the nature of God. A dead spirit, a spirit that is dead, cannot live the life of God, who is a spirit. God is a spirit. God is not man. But I'm supposed to live the life of God. And yet, my spirit is dead in sin and what? Trespasses. Dead in sin and what? Trespasses. So how can a dead spirit live? So when Jesus came, part of the plan was that these people who are dead, he said, the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they will what? Rise up again. So when Jesus came, he said, I've come that you have what? Life. And have it. But he was talking to people who were breathing. So he's not talking about natural life. He's talking about your dead spirit needs to come out. And I want to resurrect, I want to create it new and give you a spirit that's like God, that of God, so you can live like God, talk like God, do things like God. If you don't have it, you can't. You know, some of you have maybe monkey as your pet. Or I've seen somebody who has dog, snake. I went to somewhere and the man was saying, oh, isn't this so cute? I walked away. Don't want to have anything to do with that. Oh, he said, she's so beautiful. And they were calling him honey. So sweet. Oh, he's a beautiful. And they come to buy rats for you to eat. Yeah, I walked away. I said, I don't have anything to do with you. And I saw in that shop, because I really went to look into it, I said, what are these people really buying? I saw monkey. I saw all manner of things. Birds of all types. They were lining up and paying and buying. And I'm like, yeah. So if your pet is monkey, for instance, or snake, and you call your snake Henry, if you call your snake my name, we have a problem. You can call it any other thing, but don't you call your snake my name. And so he's such a honey, sweetie. My friends, let me tell you, it can be honey and sweetie, but it's a snake. Because somebody had one and the thing killed the son. Didn't you read it in the news? 2 weeks ago. Because it's a snake. No matter how you train a snake or make a lion jump over thing. A lion is a... And sometimes the lion will eat the owner. This man is human, right? That which is born of the flesh is what? No matter what you do to him, he will never live the life of his spirit, his flesh. Impossible. And yet God is a spirit. And he's expected to live the life of God. He, rule keeping can't make him do it. Just like no matter how you teach elephant, you still have to watch it. It's an elephant. I don't care how many rules you give to this man, 20 of them, 50. He's a human. That which is born of flesh is what? Until he's born of the spirit, his flesh. So you can't come to somebody and say that you have to be a Christian. All you need to do is be praying this prayer, cram this scripture. And no. Because there's only one person who can give him life. All those things cannot what? Give him life. So you said to him, after service, you said to him, come and stand here. You don't look like Jesus, but I make you one. For 5 minutes. You said, let me lead you to who? Christ. Why? The life is in him. And he has come that this man will what? Have life and have it what? What kind of life? The life that was in God. He has come so that this man that is flesh, will become a born-again spirit. His spirit is dead. Sin killed it. But now he came to create a new one that has the nature of God in him. And when he's created him, he's not done. Not only, he joins his spirit with his own. Look at the wonders of what is called born-again. This man that has a new life is not just that he was created new, but the spirit of Christ joins to his spirit, so they become one spirit. Somebody shout hallelujah. So, and he says to him, I will never leave you what? My decision to join to you was not something I did fickle-mindedness. It was a decision I made before you were born. It was a plan I made before the foundation of the earth, that anybody that comes to my son, I will give him a new life, I'll forgive his sins, and I'll create him a new and join his spirit to that of my son. And because of that joining, that's why the church is the bride. Come on. Is the bride? Yes, that's why you are his bride. Because you are joined to him. And let me tell you something. This joining is eternal. It's not stopping. In life, you join to him. In heaven, you are still what? And the Bible says, if you don't have this spirit of Christ in you, no matter what you are doing, you are a heathen. So the only way you can help somebody is to bring him to who? Christ. So that he will have a new life and be joined to Christ, so belongs to him. He belongs to him. Like my wife belongs to me. And my wife is mine. And his name is Emmanuel. And the Bible says, my name has been called upon you. Is that scripture?
Yes.
My name has what? Called. And now you are members of my family. Now, because of this spirit, church, this man cannot deal with the flesh. The only thing that can deal with the flesh is the power coming from this spirit. And because of this power here, because of this spirit, this man can put the flesh where it belongs. Paul said, I promote my flesh. I put it under control. I do that because of the power of the Spirit of God that is working in me. Because with this power, I can do all. You see why this thing needs to be explained? So the only way to get all this routed and done is by faith, by trusting that this is true. If you don't believe that this is true, even though you are joined to Christ, it will lie dormant. It will lie dormant. It won't work. And even though you are joined to Christ, yes, but what will rule you is your flesh. Because there's no answer to the flesh except the power of God. How many of you understand what I'm saying? If you understand me, say amen. I've illustrated this. Now let's read from the Bible. Thank you. Now you are no more Jesus. My friend, I know you very well. I know where you live. You eat garri like me. God, sit down. Are you getting what I'm teaching? Ephesians 4:24. Put on the new what? Put on what? Come on, church. Put on what? How is the new nature? Created. Truly what? And truly what? That's the new nature you have. That's what I have. That's what you have. And when you believe it, watch what? That's our new nature. Created to be like. Julie, your children look like you. Why? They have your DNA. You look like God because you have His life in you. So how can somebody tell you that your daughter doesn't have your nature when he has your DNA? You will kick them out and say, you have demon. Get out of my house. That's my daughter. Am I right? You are born of God, born of His Spirit, and you have His life. How can anybody convince you that you are like your grandfather instead of like your spiritual father, the God of heaven? Am I making sense? Come on, church. Am I making sense? Is it not as a man now thinks, he end up behaving? It's not robbery. That's what I'm preaching. It's not robbery. It's what God gave us out of His grace. That's why the Bible says the love of God is beyond human, that God will do these things to us, to lift us up. When you are joined to Christ, that's why you are now seated with what? With Him. Because where He's seated is where you are seated. John 3:5. Being born again now, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all this glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk what? In the Spirit, not in the flesh. Walk by the new man. Walk by the new spirit. See yourself as that which is born of spirit. You have a new nature. Walk by that reality. Then Galatians 5:18. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, you shall what? Ah, it's not up there. Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. What does it mean if you live after the flesh? It's to have this carnal mindedness that sees you as a natural, normal human being. You live after that. But it says, but if you now live after, but if you, through the Spirit, do what? Mortify the deed of the body, you shall live. He said, this flesh, God gave you the new spirit so that you can deal with it. There's no power that can deal with the flesh. The only power that can deal with it is the power that God has embedded in your new spirit. The life you have, you must live by that spirit. You must have that spirit be dominant in your life. And it's your faith that makes it dominant. Romans 8:3. Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do. For what the law what? What is it the law could not do? Could not change us. Could not deal with the flesh. Impossible. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son now in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin where? In the flesh. He says, through Christ sending his son to make you a new spirit so that you can live the spirit life. Through that, now sin can be condemned. You can deal with it through the power of the Spirit that lives in you. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
And until a man believes this thing, he'll be living a natural life. Romans 6:17. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. You were what? But see where the change took place. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was now delivered to you. Continue. Because you accepted this teaching that Paul said God sent me to teach and explain. Look at the result in verse 18 now. Being then made free from sin, you now became the servants of. But if you don't accept that doctrine, you will be living as a bond servant, as a servant and a slave to sin. It will change. You say, because you have accepted this doctrine, you have obeyed it, you have realized that this is true. You say, now you are made free from sin. You are no more a slave to sin. I told you that the new nature that God gives you moves you from slavery to sonship. It moves you from being a slave, from being in bondage, to freedom and being a member of the family of God. Amen? Now, there was a church that didn't know this. And I can't say it enough. My brothers and sisters, if you don't understand this truth of the gospel, you will not live free of sin. I'm telling the truth. You must know this truth. For this truth to what? Set you free. Forget about the good dresses we wear on Sundays. Forget about all those things. The reality is that underground, where people are not. So the Corinthian church didn't even know. So in 1 Corinthians 6:9, you know, because they were living in a city full of adultery, like you live in America. It's full of iniquity, pornography everywhere. You turn your internet, it's pornography. Even the one you don't want will come. Is that true of us? And there's a lot of false teachings going on. In schools, everywhere, you have a lot of iniquity being taught, even your children. Teaching them alternative this, alternative that, and all that of junk. It's everywhere. So the Corinthian church was embedded in a city that was prosperous and as corrupt as it is today. And the thing crept into the church. Now, see what Paul told them. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit what? Kingdom of God. But be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. What is effeminate? People who, a man that dresses a woman. All these things were there. Effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous. When I'm reading, if you find yourself, lift up your hand. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor what is revelers? What is reviling? Huh? Revelers nor extortioners shall inherit what? The kingdom of God. And such were some of you. He said, you were like that before. You are no more like that. You see what he was trying to show them? The reason you are falling for this is you don't know the difference Christ has made in your life. He said, and such were some of you. But now you are washed. But now you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things, he said, look, not everything that's lawful is what you should engage in. He said, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power what of him. Telling them the ability they have to say no. That the power of God is working in them. You can say no. You know? Verse 13. All this partying and eating, meat for the belly and belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. He said, this body you have is a different one. It's not for what? But for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. 14. And God had both raised up the Lord, and we raise up us. See, he's talking about the new person. He's been raised. Raised us up by his own power. Know you not that your bodies are now members of what? Christ. You've been joined to Jesus. He said to them, the reason you are doing this is because you don't know this truth. You don't understand what God has done for you. And that's what God said me to explain to you. He said, verse 15, know you not that your bodies are members of what? Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. He said, what? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is what? One body. For two say they shall be one flesh. 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? He was telling them what God has done. They didn't know. He said, when you go to the harlot, you are dragging Christ to a harlot. He said, you don't know what you are doing. You've been joined to Christ. You are one spirit. He said, how can you take Christ along and join yourself to a harlot? What? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two say this shall be one flesh. 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Then 18, he said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is what? Is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to who? Did you see what he was tackling? What he was tackling was ignorance. Because they didn't know the truth, they were walking in bondage. They were walking in slavery to what kept the whole world in slavery. They were walking under the same spirit that was operating there. And he was bringing them revelation who they are. What God has done. He said, now you are sanctified. Now you are clean. Now you are not the same. I want to ask you a question. If I come, and God, if I give you a cloth, a suit, and then you go, you don't even know how much. You know you might wear it when you want. But if I call you one day and say, that suit I bought you is $100,000. The use of that suit changes. Is that correct? That's what Paul was doing. He said, what you have, you have no idea. Say, don't drag it to rot. Say, this is the Spirit of God living in you. Say, you've been joined to Christ, the same Spirit with him. He said, now you are sanctified. Now you are made holy. Now, he was trying to show them the value of that cloth they are putting on so that they now treat it like something the same way it is. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I said, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If I give you wristwatch, I've told you about my wristwatch, I won't tell you again. If I give you shoe, believe you me, wear it and say, our pastor gave me shoe. And somebody calls you and says, do you know that shoe is $10,000? That shoe won't come out any day. It will come out on only what? Why? It has become a vessel of honor. When you know the value of what God has made in your life, it becomes something of honor. You can't use it anyhow. You yourself will protect it. But if you don't know what Christ has done, you think it's come. I'm born again, I'm born again. Me, I'm born too now. Are you born? You too, you are born. We are born. But there is nothing honor you see there. There's nothing glorious you see there. But my prayer is that God will open what? Our eyes. So we see the glory to which we have been called. He said we have been called to honor and what? Glory. So when you see the honor and glory where God has called you, these best things of this life will lose attraction for you. All this, you told me this, didn't told me this, and the argument and anger, they lose their attraction. Because there's a glory that you are putting on. That you have become peculiar. You have become special. You are no more ordinary person. You are not the same person that you see in your village. You now have the image of Christ, the glory of Jesus, and the presence of His Spirit. You act differently. Because now you have known the truth. And the truth what? And let me tell you one thing. When you are in the presence of Satan, issues. When you are in the presence of Satan, I'm telling you, shoes. Because you know who you are. You look Satan in the eye and say, hey, stop that. But if you don't know who you are, the devil will do, oh. Say, where's Pastor Chinid? You are looking for Pastor Chinid. And I forgot once, I saw the devil open vision like this, walked into my room. Really, very huge. I told you this. Several times I've seen, the blob was this big. This is small. Spiritual things are mystery. Small. And lying there, I could see a huge creature. And it came straight to me as I was lying there. And came and bent over me so that I was not lying between the two hands. But now I want to tell you what knowledge does. Faith comes from knowing. I wasn't a pastor, nothing. And I said to him, I said, you're wasting your time. I said, you have no idea who I am and who is in me. I said, we don't fear you. You fear us. Hey, somebody shout hallelujah. I said, you fear us. I said, let me remind you that I'm also born a spirit. So don't come here and show me garagara with spirit. He that is born of the spirit is what? I said, I'm born a spirit in the nature of God. We don't back up. We don't fear you. And we reign over you. I said, when you finish wasting your time, you can what? Because no weapon formed against this man. Case closed. I was at peace. I mean, have you seen where you turned off the light and you are seeing this thing? I was at peace. And then the thing was there. And I said, but you know, you just make me angry because you walked into my room to disturb my sleep. I said, I don't tolerate that nonsense. I said, before I count three, in Jesus' name, before I count, what? Three. I say, in Jesus' name, you. Before I count three, you are gone from here. Because I want to sleep. I say, one, two. But I said, I saw three. The thing turned like a big wind. Wind, wind, wind. I was gone. Brethren, I slept. I didn't even think about it. That's what happens when you know who you are. When you know what God has deposited in you. That you are the power of God lives what? The authority of heaven is what? With you. You don't belittle those things. If they become things of you protect, things of value, things you don't toy with, and your life is lived in glory and honor. And does it make sense? Can I hear amen?
Amen?
Come on, can I hear amen?
Amen?
Come on, can I hear amen?
Amen?
I want you to step out there and live like Jesus. I want you to step out there and know you can walk on trample on serpents and scorpions and trample on all these things that bother people. That the power to control your flesh has been given to you. You are spirit. Tap somebody and say you are spirit.
Spirit.
Come on, tap him. Where? You are spirit.
Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Do you know you can get angry over any symptom that is not of God? You get angry. I'm not kidding. You don't talk to these things, kids, growth, because you know it has no portion or right here. Boy, you get angry and say, I don't want to hear you are leaving this body. Julie will get angry. She will get angry. You told me, he said, Pastor, he said, you told us, you gave us scripture. He said, I got angry. I said, you are not in this house. You are getting up. I'm running you out of town. I said, yeah, go ahead. Run them out of town. He didn't need to call me. He didn't have to. Because the authority of heaven has been handed over to her. And that's the way you bring glory to Christ. That's what, you see, we praise God, it's good. But the greatest way to bring glory to Jesus is to put to use what he died to give you. And today, I'm going to challenge you. Things that you don't want, that are not from God, must change. And you are going to speak it and turn it out of your life. I want to challenge you. If Christ lives in you, live in the Spirit. And act like it. Act like a son of God. Act like you reign. Act like what? You reign. Say it, and it shall be so. I want you to rise up. Rise up.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks, and remain blessed.